He is good. He is good. Thank you, worship team. And also for Matthew and Edwin, getting up here, that is really hard to do. Great job, kids. Man, I was stumbling through some of those words. Impressive. Well, we are going to have a great time together as we talk about the gift that God has given us and the ways that God wants to speak into our lives and the ways that we can trust who God is. We're going to be in a few places today. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I'll read those and then we'll walk through this together. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. As we get into this, I want to give you a little bit of context because it's very important. And that is, at this time, there are a lot of broken families. There's a broken government, and that means there are broken people. But it didn't just start there. That had been true for a long time. From the very beginning, outside of Eden, there was a break. As soon as Adam and Eve decided to walk a different way, when they decided to not step in faith but walked in fear, there was a break. And God, from that moment forward, wanted to fix that which was broken. And he does that with a gift. And so we're going to talk about that gift together. And in doing so, I want to identify a few things. Just like the first service today, this service is a family service, meaning that we have kiddos in the room, and that's awesome, right? Yep. Yeah, we like kids. You can do better. You're like, convince them. There we go. Well done. We like kids, and they might get a little, you know, little. They might need to move a little bit, and that's okay. We encourage that. They should move a little bit. Parents, if you start to notice, Kenny's going a little longer than my kiddo can handle, that's okay. We get it. There are some chairs outside the worship center. You are welcome to go out there. You should be able to hear everything and see everything, but don't miss the point. We want you in here. We think that the Word of God is for everybody, and we love to see these little ones in here, just so you're aware of that, right? One more time, right? Right. Right. Okay, good. We're on the same page. Excellent. We better pray. Let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. Lord, we love you. We thank you, and we praise you. We ask that you would be exalted and lifted up. We ask, O Lord, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And Lord, as you came to fix the problem, you presented yourself as a gift to be received. And so, Lord, we would ask that we would be able to receive you, our gift, that you would be exalted and that you would be lifted up. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy, holy, holy name we pray. Amen. Did everybody find the perfect gift this year? I'll be honest with you. I stopped trying a long time ago. It's really hard to find the perfect gift. When, just before Cindy and I got married, we were at Crown College, just west of here, near Waconia, in a suburb of Waconia, St. Bonifacius. For those of you who aren't from here, that's hilarious. Anyways, I wanted to get the right present for Cindy. Like, I tried really hard. Guys, when you're out of your league and she doesn't know that, you got to act fast. And you got to do it well. And that was my motivation. Like, I don't want her to realize who I really am. So I'm trying to get a really good gift for her. And a friend of mine said, hey, let's go to the Mall of America. Well, that sounds like a hoot. So we go to the Mall of America. And I don't know that we went to every store, but we maybe went to every store. And it was a long time, and it was very painful. But towards the end, I found the right gift, and I was so excited. It was a leather coat. And I was, here's what I know. Cindy was from Wyoming, and we were living in Minnesota, so she had like 10 months to use this thing, you know? Like, this is good. She's got a leather coat. And every time she puts it on, she's going to remember me. Oh, this is going to be great. Good job, Kenny. And so I get this gift. And for Christmas, she goes to open it up. And she opens it up, and she appreciates it. Like, it was nice. But what I learned later and in our discussion was this, that as nice as the gift was, it was the intention that really mattered to her. And even more than that, it was the person, which was really frustrating because I realized I could have just gotten her like a notebook and it would have been just as good. But I think what you're going to see today as we engage is that the perfect person, the creator, the God of the universe who loves us and cares for us with the right intention has offered a gift for us to receive. And if we would be brave enough, if we would walk in faith, he might do something beautiful, restorative during this time of year if we would be willing to follow him in that place. And so with that in mind, let's jump in. We're going to walk through and look at this gift, this Redeemer, and how this Redeemer is actually a gift for us. And that this Redeemer was, one, promised to us. Two, we're going to see his character. Three, we're going to see how he is fulfilled in Scripture. And then we're going to offer an invitation to us as we walk through some questions together. You ready? If not, too bad. We're doing it anyways. Here we go. Let's go ahead and jump right into the promise of a Redeemer. The promise of a Redeemer. I love this about God. Like, God, it's an understatement, right? He is so good. He's so smart. He's so clever. He gives us a spoiler. Anybody love spoilers? No, you're like, oh, if it's a spoiler alert, I don't want to know. Don't spoil this for me. I'm going to call you out on this because I think everybody likes spoilers a little bit more than you let on. I realized this a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. When my friend and I discovered Star Wars, he went to the next episode before me and was really engaged. He really liked it, and he couldn't wait to tell us all about it when he came back. And he did. And he led with, "You guys, you're never going to believe it. Darth Vader is Luke's dad." And all of my friends went, "What?" But not me. I was like, "This is great news. Now I want to watch the movie and see if there's any clues that he was dad beforehand." By the way, there's not. But I looked. There's something about that spoiler alert that is actually helpful. And like I said earlier, I think you probably embrace spoilers a little more than you're letting on. I'll give you an example. Every Hallmark movie is the exact same template, and we watch it ad infinitum, right? Like, we don't stop watching these. You don't believe me? Tell me if you've seen this movie. This person comes in from out of state, and I don't know, there's something's not going right. Maybe they're running from a broken relationship, or maybe they've just been busy their whole life and never really had a chance to get into a relationship, and they go into this town, and these two people meet, and though they're complete opposites, we as viewers go, it's them. They're going to get to know each other. They're going to fall in love, and then it happens. There's a message that comes in from out of town or a misunderstanding that occurs, and this couple that you're sure is going to come together, they're not going to come together. There is no way they're ever coming together, and then at the end of the story, they come together, and that's every Hallmark movie ever, and yet we continue to watch it, right? Like, we kind of like spoilers, and God does such a great job in giving us the gift of spoilers to give us eyes to see, like, hey, pay attention, because something's coming. There's something you're going to want to know, and FYI, I got it under control. I love that about God, and we see this in the promise that's foretold. Starts in the garden. in the garden after the fall, this is after Adam and Eve listened to Satan. They responded in fear, not faith. They break their relationship with God. They hide from God. And God confronts Adam, Eve, and Satan. And he's talked about the consequences with Adam and Eve. And now he's talking to Satan. And this is what he says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that's super important because you get this idea. Wait a minute. God has a plan here, and though there's a broken relationship, like, Satan's going to get his. It's going to happen. God's doing something. Pay attention. There's a spoiler. There's a promise shown in the garden, but not just there. There's also a promise and a covenant. And we see that with this guy, Abram, who is, like, in terms of hospitality, he is amazing. And we don't fully pick it up in our culture when we start to read the story of Abram, who later becomes Abraham. But just to cut to the chase, he is amazingly gracious in his hospitality above and beyond. Doesn't mean he's perfect. He messes up a lot. But God somehow restores him. God sees something in him that he loves, and he gives a promise to him. And within the promise, he says this in Genesis 12:3, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we recognize that Satan is going, his head's going to be crushed. And we recognize that through these people of faith, there's going to be this blessing. There is a redeemer who's going to restore that which was broken. And it seems to be up to God. God's going to do it. And it continues in the line of David, in the kings of Israel. David is a man who's after God's own heart. God loves David. Even though David messes up many times, David is quick to repent and come back. And this promise is given in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And the reader who sees that goes, well, wait a minute. David's not going to live forever, so what is he referring to? He's identifying that there is one to come. And this one to come is going to have a kingdom that has no end. He's going to reign forever on the throne of David. And so we see a picture starting to emerge that there is a redeemer coming. And a promise has been given. There's a spoiler. Like, don't lose heart, friends. Don't lose your faith. Hang in there. The Redeemer is coming. But a way that is true in the ancient world that maybe isn't as true in our world is the focus on character. There is a big focus on character, who the person is. We want to get to know who this person is. And the way that the cards are tipped, we get to see the hand of God, is that he identifies the type of person this Redeemer is going to be when he shows his character. I read this passage earlier, but I'll read this first verse again. And this is what it says, referring to the character of the Redeemer to come. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's all together, and it's very purposeful. It's purposeful in a way that, again, I don't think we fully appreciate until we maybe pull back and consider it. I'll share with you what I mean. Cindy sometimes will give me a hard time about not going to the doctor. Guys, I won't ask you if you're with me on this one. But she's sometimes like, why don't you want to go to the doctor? And my answer is this. It's not going to a doctor that bothers me. It's going to doctors, plural. And here's what I mean. You go to a doctor and they go, oh, yeah, you should go see a specialist. And also this specialist. And this, I'm like, didn't you go to school for this? Why can't I just get it all done right here? I was brave enough to show up, right? Like, can we just deal with this? All in one place. Well, that's not the way it works. But it is the way that it works with our Savior. And I love that about the Redeemer. As God is letting us in on a secret, he's telling us about the character of the Savior. And it's like, you know, if you're in that place, that season of your life where you're going, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why I exist. Lord, I need some direction. I need help. Isn't it good that he's a wonderful counselor? Maybe just the harder you try to get ahead, the more you fall behind. The harder you step into it, the more crushing the blows are. And you realize, oh man, I can't do this on my own. Isn't it good to know that this Redeemer who's going to come is mighty God? Like, there's nobody bigger. And as you start to think in those terms, you realize, well, wait a minute, my life is actually short. And there's going to be a day where I'm going to meet the Creator. I'm going to pass from this life into the next. And what of that? It's good that he's everlasting Father. He knows no end and invites us into that. And in a world that has nations that rise up and fall, that has economies that go up and down, isn't it good to know that though there is this chaotic world that we currently live in, there is a Prince of Peace who is inviting us into a better way. He's all things. The Savior is who we've been called to, the gift that has been given to us. And I love that about him. One theologian said that he's not just the great physician, he's also the great medicine. He's everything. He is our all in all, and accessible to us is this Savior. So it's not just about the promises, and it's not just about his character. Like, all of those things are great, but we live in a unique time in world history where we can look back and see that things have occurred. And so there have to be some fulfillments to what has been stated. There are literally hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah that we could look at. We're not going to. We're just going to highlight a few. You're welcome. But I would encourage you to take some time throughout the week and look through those prophecies. Your heart will be encouraged as you see them directly fulfilled in the person of Jesus. One of those prophecies is found in Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel from ancient days. So we have something very specific. Not only are there promises, not only is there character, but there's something specific. This Savior is going to come from Bethlehem. Like, if they come from somewhere else, if they're born somewhere else, don't worry about it. This small, tiny place in the middle of it's not far from Jerusalem, but hardly anybody lives there. It's a small town. If they don't come from this place, you don't have to worry about it. And then secondly, there's going to be a virgin birth. This is, for the early church, when they heard these things, it was a surprise. But they were able to trace it back to the facts, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But the virgin birth from Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. So another part of his character, God is with us. So we see that this fulfillment will happen. He'll come from Bethlehem. He'll be born in Bethlehem, rather. And his mother is going to be a virgin. Like, those are pretty specific things. And in the midst of that, we see from Luke and from Matthew, the boys just read this just a few minutes ago, that is actually what happened. The virgin was with child, and she had that child in Bethlehem. We can stake a claim that this Redeemer was promised, he rightly fulfilled the character and also the specific prophecies that were given. What an amazing God to do this for us. It's like we needed some direction. And that's what I love about the scriptures. Like, it is very clear that it gives us directions, and the prophecies go about that. I hope you're not like me in this way. I am directionally challenged. It's super frustrating for Cindy because I also like to drive, and because I'm directionally challenged, I drive a lot more than I should. And so it's no joke. It might take me 10 to 20 times to go to a place before I go, oh, I don't need my GPS anymore. I feel good. That is in stark contrast to my wife, who could be in a dark room, no windows, blindfolded, spun around 20 times and go, oh yeah, that's north, northwest. I'm going, I didn't even know that was a direction. And she could just, like, she just knows. She gets it. Super frustrating for me. But there is an answer. Do you know what that answer is? GPS, Google Maps, that's right. And what I love about Google Maps is it gets me exactly where I need to go every time. Not like the old days when it first started. No, I can pretty much trust it every time now. Like I can trust the prophecies of the scripture. It points us to something. It points us to Jesus, the Christ. It tells us what to look for. And as we look back on history, we see that Jesus 100% fulfills this promise. And for a broken people who need to be restored, they need that gift. And so I want to invite you into that gift. In fact, I want to invite you to receive the gift, the Redeemer. That would be my hope. There are some things you need to know about it, though. It's not fair for me to say, hey, you should have this gift and not give any other directions. That's not fair. So let me give you some from Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Okay, so God is the gift giver in this. He's the one who elects to give it. And it's by grace. Sometimes we think that grace means it's free. It's not free. It cost. It came at a great cost. It's just you didn't have to pay for it. That's the gift. God paid for it. God paid for it when he went to the cross. It came at an incredible price. And it's grace. Hey, buddy. Yeah, he was right. I told you guys, this is what it's about. The kid's probably going to be a pastor one day. You watch and see. Watch and see. It's by grace, right? What does that mean? We don't earn it. You can't be good enough, you can't be smart enough, you can't know enough information, you can't go to the right church enough, you can't be baptized enough, you can't get communion enough. It's God's work, and that's what he did on the cross. That's the gift. And it's through faith. That means that we need to believe. We need to trust him. Would we be willing to trust him? Well, that moves us to the next point. In this invitation, there is a call to faith. Many of you memorized, this was one of their first scriptures that you memorized. It's in the ESV, so it might be a little different than the way you memorized it, but this is what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, it's a matter of trusting God. Will I turn from my, I can't do it myself. I'm turning from my ways. I'm repenting of that and the world that Satan set in motion in the garden, and I'm turning to God, the one who is asking us to return to a relationship with him. From fourth grade to 12th grade, my senior year, my best friend was a guy named Suede. Suede and I played a lot of basketball together and mostly stayed out of trouble together. I love Suede. Good guy. And one day, again, this is before Amazon, I was at the mall, and I see this gift for Suede. Yeah, I'm going to get it for him for his birthday. His birthday was in the summer. And I knew this. My brother snooped around my room a lot. And Suede came over from time to time, and he grabbed stuff. And so I put his gift at the top of my closet, kind of under some stuff, so that no one would get it. Smart thinking. Except for I forgot all about it. I did. His birthday came and went. It wasn't even a thought in my mind that I got him a gift. And somewhere after Thanksgiving, I was digging around in my closet, and I went, well, hey, there's a gift. I think that is Suede's gift. So I quick wrapped it, and I gave it to him early because I didn't trust myself anymore. And on Christmas, he opened it, and Suede says this. This would have been really great in the summer. He's right. Like, that's what it was for. It was for the summer. And the reason I bring that up, though that wasn't Suede's fault, that was my fault. The connection is this. Sometimes we do wait too long for a gift, this eternal life gift. Like, there are all these days that we could have been spending using this gift, experiencing this gift, and the life of this gift. And we sometimes miss out. Like, why would we do that? I guarantee. So, you guys, two of my grandkids are with us, and tomorrow morning is Christmas. This is so exciting. And they're gonna come up to the Christmas tree, and it's gonna be like blood in the water and sharks. That's what's in my mind. That's how this is gonna go. And they're just, you know, they're gonna tear into that. They're not gonna wait. Like, I can't imagine saying to my oldest granddaughter, Kennedy, she's 20 months, but she's going on 25 years. And I can't imagine saying to her, Kennedy, why don't you just wait? Like, I know you could open it now, but why don't you just wait? Why don't you wait a week? Why don't you wait a month? Why don't you wait a year? Why don't you wait until you're a little older? Like, can you imagine how that's going to go? Exactly like you think it's going to go. So why would we wait for this gift? My suggestion to you is don't. At the end of this next song, Pastor Art is going to be over here on the side. And if you're saying to yourself, you know, I've heard about this gift, I've thought about this gift, I know that this gift is available, but I've never really surrendered to Christ. I've never really repented of my sins and received Jesus, this gift, then let today be your day. What a great Christmas present you could have. In fact, I want to tell you, it's the best Christmas present. The greatest gift isn't under the tree this year. The greatest gift hung on a tree for us. That's the reality. And so I would beg you to receive this gift. And if you're a believer, yeah, you've received this gift. I still want you to walk through this with me. Here's the first question. Will you receive the gift of salvation through Jesus, the Redeemer? Would you be willing to receive him? If you have received him, then let's talk about the second question. How can you share this gift with others this Christmas? How can you share this gift with others? Letting other people know about the Savior who has come. I just want to give you a couple of moments right now, just quietly right where you are, to wrestle through those questions, to be honest with yourself, to say, no, I haven't received this gift, or yes, I have. If you haven't, like I said, after this next song, Pastor Art's going to be here, and we would love to talk to you. If you don't make it to Art and you see me, that's great. I'd love to talk to you about it. If you don't see me or Art and you see Pastor Jason, talk to Pastor Jason. You see one of the elders, great. Talk to one of the elders. We want to make sure that you have this gift, who is Jesus the Christ.